Satan the obsession with base lusts and every other manner of depravity? Pray with us now. God can change your life. Father, we come before your throne and we bow down before you and we bring these new people, Lord, that have never committed their lives to you. And they see, they touch, they've been touched by the Holy Spirit. They see now and understand that they need you. And we're coming before your throne with them, hand in hand, and we kneel before you, Lord, and we say, touch these people and do for them what you've done for us. Take away their sin, wash them and cleanse them. And as they pray with us now, forgive our sin, Lord. Forgive us for having rejected you, having rebelled against you. Forgive us, Lord, for every manner of sin and every manner of ill thing that we have been party to. Forgive us, cleanse us, and make us whole. And we ask this in the name of Jesus, and then we know that it's not by our might nor by our power that we can change, and that's why we ask you now, Lord, endue us with power from on high, the power of the Holy Spirit, the power to see our lives changed. We ask, Lord, that you would anoint us, endue us with power, give us the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that we have our lives changed by your power. And we ask this in the name of Jesus, and we know, Lord, that you are faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We know that if anyone is in Christ Jesus, if they come to you as we're coming now, and they bow before you and ask for your help and your forgiveness, you hear them, you answer prayer, and you make us to be new creatures in Christ Jesus. The old things have passed away, and all things are becoming new. And we thank you for that work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Yes, Lord, we thank you for the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And now our prayer is for those that have just now committed their lives to you. They've given their lives into your hand, Lord. And our prayer is for them that the Holy Spirit would be mighty and powerful in their lives, and that you would hear and answer their prayers.
Well, good evening. This is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and of course we welcome your calls out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But we ask you to hold your calls for the time being. We're hopefully going to have with us tonight Dr. Roberts. And Dr. Roberts, of course, is an expert on aspartame. We've had him on our programs many, many times in the past. And, of course, Dr. Roberts has written extensively on the subject. And I think that the reason we're having difficulty getting him is because they have one number here. And if our producer would like to run in here, I'll give him the right number. And so we'll have Dr. Roberts here in just a few moments. And of course, but it's so vitally important that people understand there is a very, very real problem that we have with NutraSweet, which has been put into so many of the various products that are used today, into many of our diet drinks, things of that sort. And it's being used in all sorts of products. And what people don't know that this is an excitotoxin, and it has disastrous effects on the brain. It was known long before it was ever put into human food that in animals it produced convulsions, it produced brain tumors, it produces many other types of tumors, it attacks the endocrine system. This is a terrible, terrible product. In fact, for some 12 to 15 years, the FDA officials fought this until such time as the Reagan administration came to office in 1980. And at that time, they had a transition team, and on that transition team was the CEO one of the larger drug firms, Searle. And, of course, CEO of Searle was on the transition team. He insisted that his man be appointed the director of the Federal Drug Administration, which would determine whether or not, of course, this product, aspartame, was put on the market. And, of course, no sooner was this man appointed that going against the advice of all of the people there, and this is a man with no experience for the job at all, he was a political appointee, he authorized that aspartame be released for human consumption, and then very shortly thereafter quit and went to work for Searle. And, of course, the CEO of Searle at that time was a man, his name was Donald Rumsfeld, who today is the Secretary of Defense. So this is how the game, unfortunately, is played. But, of course, at what expense to the human suffering and all the people developing brain cancers. And so when we get Dr. Roberts on the line, he'll give you the background of really what we've unleashed on the American people. Now, there is a website, it's called doorway.org, that's D-O-R-W-A-Y, that's only one O, not two O's, and you can go to that website, and we'll get some other websites for you, but that website, and it's either doorway, www.doorway.org or doorway.com, try those two and start pulling down the information on aspartame. Dr. Roberts, thank you so much for being with us tonight.
It's my pleasure again.
Well, Dr. Roberts has been with us before. He's written a wonderful, wonderful book on aspartame. It's over 1,000 pages. It's the classic book. It gives you all of the scientific studies, not his opinion, but what the scientific studies show. And of course, why was it that the FDA officials fought so long and hard to try to keep aspartame off the market, the product we refer to today as NutraSweet?
Well, it was largely because of the high incidence of brain tumors, brain cancer in experimental animals, rats that ordinarily do not develop brain tumors. And this went on and on, and they allowed the statute of limitations to run out, and then it became a political maneuver that got it finally licensed or approved for human use, which had never, in my opinion, should never have been the case.
And, of course, that was a product produced by the Searle Pharmaceutical Company?
Well, yeah, they really had the licensure at the time. And there's a whole long history going back. This was originally intended as a drug to treat peptic ulcer, stomach ulcers. But then they found it tasted sweet, so they withdrew the drug application. And, of course, these are my opinions that I'm expressing. When I say it should never have been approved, in my opinion, should not have been approved. And I am joined by that by the scientists of the FDA and the consultants of the General Accounting Office. And they even had a so-called public board of inquiry headed by a professor at MIT in 1980, a year before it was approved. And they all said it should not be approved.
And so they went ahead and approved it anyway as part of a political shenanigan. But, of course, at what cost to the American people? Now, hasn't there been a significant...
The cost has been absolutely devastating. You don't hear about it. My opinions are as objective as they can be. I'm a scientist. I was a practicing physician for many years, and I head up a research institute.
All right, fine. Now, of course... why don't you give our listeners a little bit of your background? We know that you're an internist, and then, of course, you have another specialty as well on, don't you?
Yeah, I'm certified by the American Board of Internal Medicine. Not only that, I've been recertified, I am a member of a number of prestigious professional organizations, the American College of Physicians, the American College of Chest Physicians, the Endocrine Society, a member of the American Academy of Neurology. So, you know, I've had interest in a number of areas and have published over 250 or 260 articles. In fact, one was just published about the origin of the Atkins diet. That was just published, in which Dr. Atkins told me that he got his ideas originally and got interested in nutrition because of some of my publications in the early 1960s. I've read 18 books.
All right, fine. Well, now, as far as the aspartame is concerned, certainly there are laws on the books that if a substance produces cancer in animals, you know, unless these animals are specifically bred for cancer, which sometimes they do, but, of course, if it produces cancer in animals, then it should not be given to humans. But, of course, they went right ahead and did that. Has there been a significant increase in brain cancer since this was introduced?
Yes.
What about
I've written, about 12 years ago, I wrote an extensive article. It was titled, Does Aspartame Produce Human Brain Cancer or Brain Cancer in Humans? And I showed how within a year after it was originally introduced in 1981, as a powdered form, there was a spectacular rise of previous rare brain tumor called primary brain lymphoma. And then within another 2 years in 83, when it was introduced into soft drinks, and over the violent objections internally of the soft drink industry, then within a year or two, then there was this increase of the more common types of brain tumors. It just goes on and on. It's an amazing story, Doctor.
Well, now, what about the relationship between NutraSweet and convulsive disorders?
Oh, well, aspartame, NutraSweet, is a neurotoxin. It's a toxin to the brain, to nerve tissue. And there's no question, based upon my observations and the input of the FDA by people who are volunteering their complaints and a number of articles, that aspartame can induce convulsions, seizures of various types, whether the person has had it and not had it before, or whether they've been on it and taking medication, because the aspartame interferes with the effects of the medication, like dilantin. So, in my opinion, and we have over 180 or more in my own database, and the FDA has many more, except that the FDA, the Food and Drug Administration, is still in a state of denial. There's just too much political and corporate pressure on it.
All right, fine. Now, of course, what are some of the other effects? What effect does the aspartame have when given to a pregnant woman? Many times pregnant women are told, you've got to take this so that you won't put on weight. You know, you want to drink this diet cola. But there have been animal experiments, haven't there, to the effect on the unborn child or the unborn animal?
It's an invitation, in my opinion, to disaster. This is one of the areas in which I think I've made some inroads, and I've told obstetricians and gynecologists that no woman, in my opinion, should be taking aspartame sodas because of its potential serious effects on the fetus, because the chemical concentrates like 4 to 5 times more on the fetal side of the placenta, and when it gets into the developing nervous system, and it gets into the brain, crosses the so-called blood-brain barrier, and it starts competing with so-called neurotransmitters, it can just do havoc. So I feel, like you indicated, and incidentally, I've gone into this, and there was just a series of three tapes that I've recorded that just was recently released by the Sunshine Sentinel Press, and in which I say this is one of the things that it's almost a dogma by me that no pregnant woman should drink aspartame.
Well, now, of course, what is the what do the animal studies show as far as the effect on the unborn animal, or the, in other words, the fetal animal, and of course, when it was born?
Well, you have to understand that most animals can metabolize the three components of aspartame, which is a chemical, it's not a natural substance, it's a chemical, much better than humans. They can handle the amino acids, the phenylalanine, the sulfuric acids, and they can even handle the free methyl alcohol, not ethyl alcohol, but methyl alcohol.
And that's what people used to drink during Prohibition. Go
yeah, wood alcohol. Wood alcohol, methanol.
And of course, this is a breakdown of that, but for formaldehyde.
A real poison, you know, and it's free, in its free form. So, you know, most animals can metabolize it, detoxify it, excrete it, much more than humans can, because in the course of evolution, we have lost our ability to handle the methyl alcohol. And so again, you talk about animal studies. There have been shown that fetal defects, birth defects, the congenital defects, and so forth, in some animal studies, which in my books and in my tapes I go into, and you know give the references. But in humans, when they take it, what do we know? The delayed effects in terms of subsequent learning disabilities and hyperactivity and attention deficit disorder and psychiatric problems, with all the problems above and beyond congenital deformities and so. The fact is that this has really not been gone into. And, you know, when you're dealing with pregnancy and fetal development and so forth, these are major considerations, and they just can't be glossed over by just accepting what corporate research reports.
But, of course, my understanding is that there was independent research that some of these animals, the offspring of the animals taking this, were really to have severe mental disorders and, either hyperactive or extremely dull and unresponsive. Is that true?
Yeah. You know the thing in the Bible that says the iniquities of the fathers shall be visited to the second and third generation? You know that content? I shouldn't be quoting scripture, I guess, but that's what it amounts to. We don't know, and therefore, when in doubt, just avoid it.
Well, of course, there's too much money involved in this to avoid it. And of course, now what does it do to the endocrine system of the individual?
It can just mess. Now look, I'm an endocrinologist, a member of the Endocrine Society. I assume you know what the Endocrine Society is. You know,
certainly I do. But tell our listeners, because they are not physicians, most of them.
No, I understand. Well, it's a group of basically people, doctors who've done a great deal of work with the endocrine system, the endocrine glands, the pituitary, the thyroid, the adrenal glands, and so forth. Well, let me put it this way. In terms of diabetes, it can aggravate diabetes, or the complications of diabetes, especially in the eye and the nervous system, or it can simulate these complications. In other words, you have a diabetic that's told, stay away from sugar and sweets, and you take the diet products. Well, if it's aspartame and they suddenly have problems with vision or severe neurologic problems, they say, well, that's a diabetic complication, except when they stop it, especially if they have other problems, and it goes away relatively promptly, then that's not diabetic retinopathy. That's one thing. It can cause severe hypoglycemia, low blood sugar attacks, because the aspartame can induce as much insulin, the release of insulin, almost as much as sugar. So these people can have low, so-called low-blood sugar attacks, whether or not they're diabetic or not. And then in women, we're still talking about the endocrine effects. The women can either have very profuse periods or they can stop their periods because the amino acids in this chemical stimulate a hormone in the pituitary called prolactin, which can stop periods. And interestingly enough, this can run in families. The mother and their daughters can lose their periods, and when they stop it, they came back.
In other words, when they stop the aspartame, the nutrition product, right.
And it can probably cause infertility. There have been studies from Japan, and it goes on and on.
There's been studies that actually produces infertility in women, is what you're saying.
And in men.
In men, okay, fine.
Men, too. Of course, if the women stop having periods, that's one way of infertility. And in my books and in these recent tapes, I go into this in great detail.
Now, of course, is it that the decreases the male sperm count? How does it affect male sperm?
Right. It decreases these Japanese studies, and even you can show it in a test tube. You can show it. It's a noxious chemical.
Okay. Well, now, of course, does this have any effect at all as far as either delaying the onset of puberty or increasing it so that girls are going into the adolescent period much more rapidly?
Well, that's hard to say, but it's a chemical that does all sorts of things, whether it's through the pituitary or directly in the ovary and so. And it just shouldn't be given, certainly to infants and young children. They should stay away from it. And yet, over 70% of the general population are consuming these, and over 40% of children, over 40%, consume these products regularly.
Well, now, my understanding is, of course, that this is an excitotoxin, it's a phenylalanine product, but it actually can actually destroy brain tissue. Is there any truth to that?
Well, in my book, it was published a couple of years ago, dealing with the prevention of Alzheimer's disease, it's called Defense Against Alzheimer's Disease, I sent a whole chapter showing how the data in my personal experience shows that aspartame may accelerate, perhaps even initiate, that accelerate Alzheimer's disease, and I go into in great detail because of what's present in the abnormal changes you find in the Alzheimer brain. Now, many of the young people who take this, they come to doctors, and we're talking in their 20s and 30s and 40s.
I'm going to have to interrupt you there. We're going to have to take a quick break. When we get back, of course, our guest is Dr. Roberts. We're talking about his book, Aspartame Disease, an Ignored Epidemic. We'll be right back here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Dr. Roberts, and of course, we're talking about aspartame and of course, the damage that this can actually do to the brain of a child. And then, of course, we were next talking about the relationship between Alzheimer's disease and certainly various forms of dementia. And how about Parkinson's disease? Is there any suggestion that this may play a part in Parkinson's? Certainly we've seen this very young actor who, of course, was a spokesman for, I think, Dr. Pepper, diet soda, things of that sort. And this very young man, it looked like in his late 30s, early 40s, already was coming down with Parkinson's disease.
Yes. In several of my previous books, and in the most recent book and tapes, I go into how this exaggerates a thing called essential tremor, which is not Parkinson's disease, but also how it can perhaps contribute to Parkinson's, because, as you know, one of the treatments we use in Parkinson's is called L-DOPA. That's what's called L-DOPA. It has to do with dopamine. And the when the phenylalanine breaks down, it goes to tyrosine, and then it goes to dopamine, and then it goes to norepinephrine and so forth. Well, at any rate, the aspartame is the product. These products are exposed to heat or prolonged storage. They break down into not the conventional amino acids, so the L form, but into their mirror images, the so-called D form. And that, in turn, has to do with this this L-DOPA and D-DOPA. So just to simplify it, in my opinion, yes, people with Parkinsonism should not be taking this.
No, is there any possibility of any reversal of the effects of the Alzheimer's or Parkinson's disease by discontinue it, or is there anything that can be done to reverse the effects of this this poisonous substance that we find in so many of our food? It's not just in the diet drinks. It's really in everything today, and they keep having different names for it, so you don't really know what they're putting
in
there.
That's right. If it says sugar-free, just assume that it's got aspartame, and they have all these all these different labels. You're absolutely right. When in doubt, just stay away from it. Throw it out. But
Is there any possibility that any of this is reversible? Is there any treatment for the deleterious effects of this product?
Well, let me back up a bit. When there is irreversible damage, like blindness, now we have about 30 people in my database have gone blind in one of both eyes because of the effects of the methyl alcohol, as you know. Or when there is severe brain damage or symptoms of it, extreme dizziness and various other things. When you've had that much damage, you know, it may not be reversible. But in terms of, you're talking about Alzheimer's. Well, it takes about 20 or 30 years from the time you can see the initial changes in the Alzheimer changes in the brain until the individual starts developing overt dementia, severe confusion and memory loss and so forth. And I feel that anything along
we're going to have to interrupt you for just a moment till we bring our affiliates up in Washington right back on the line here. Well, Dr. Stan, back here at Radio Liberty, and our guest is Dr. Roberts. We're talking about his book, Aspartame Disease, an Inroid Epidemic, and we were talking about Alzheimer's disease and how it really takes about 40 years, and you'll see the changes early on, but of course the patient doesn't begin to recognize them until he becomes increasingly forgetful, and this is a direct byproduct, at least in some instances, of these neurotoxins that are being foisted on the American people. And nobody is telling them. And the average doctor doesn't know this because he doesn't study it. And since the medical journals are largely financed by the drug companies, they're not going to tell him. Since many of the medical meetings are financed by the drug companies, they're not going to tell him. Imagine the lawsuits that will be if we ever have justice and the people responsible for this are taken before the bar of justice. It will dwarf the tobacco settlements, believe me. Because, of course, at least with tobacco, they warned you that it was dangerous. With this, of course, everything's been done to cover up the truth. And, it's gone from Cyril to Monsanto, and now there are all sorts of companies putting this out in your food products. But you were talking about, of course, this long duration of period between the onset of Alzheimer's and then the apparent clinical entity. Why don't you pick up the story from there, Doctor?
Well, interestingly enough, in my book, dealing with the prevention of Alzheimer's, called Defense Against Alzheimer's, during those decades, before they come down with overt dementia, there are other symptoms they may be showing, but the patient and the physicians may not even be aware that these may be other manifestations of Alzheimer's disease. Quote, and the people who have parents and relatives who have Alzheimer's or are concerned about it ought to be aware that these are other early warning signals before the severe dementia. Well, at any rate, you're talking about, can you reverse it? Well, and you're talking in terms of the aspartame. Now, of course, this is controversial, what I'm saying, But it's there. It's a neurotoxin. And I say to these young people, prominent business, professional persons coming to see me in their 30s and 40s, and they can't remember who they're talking to on the telephone, or they lose their way driving home and so forth. And they think they have Alzheimer's disease. Well, if they're consuming a lot of this stuff, and they have other symptoms, headaches and so forth, and they stop it, and these symptoms generally reverse, fortunately. So it's a long story with the Alzheimer's, and that's just one aspect of the profound confusion and memory loss. It's in 30% of the initial 1,200 people in my book in the database, but it's profound.
All right, fine. Well, first, the great tragedy is the average American has no idea about this, and so many of our young people are drinking large amounts of these aspartame and Nutrasweet-laden drinks, the idea they're going to be thin, you know, somehow that's so important to them
that's
without
a
realizing...
Curse. That's been a curse on our society.
Right.
The thinness cult and so forth, the fear of fat and so forth. And I don't have to tell you, you know, many of these young women especially, and they've got to lose those 5 or 10 pounds off their thighs. And what they do, and they take all this stuff and they eat very sparsely, and then they come down with multiple sclerosis and things like that. And I've been writing about this since the early 1960s, long before there was aspartame. And that's a curse on our society. Now, a person should not be grossly obese. We understand that. But to this cult of thinness has just been terrible. Well, that's on my soapbox. That's what I'm preaching. I said, just accept yourself for what you are.
All right.
Properly exercise, properly, and so forth.
All right, fine. Well, I guess
it's... an article published just this week. It just came out. About the origin of the Atkin diet. Dr. Atkins told me once when he asked me to do television shows with him that my early papers are what stimulated him to in this field of sugar and so forth.
All right, fine. Well, I guess it's Dr. Roberts. His book is on aspartame disease, an ignored epidemic. And, of course, this is a 1,000-page, it's a long book. It's just the encyclopedia on these diseases. And you really, the diseases that are associated with aspartame, and we certainly recommend it. It's available by calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV. Or if you'd like to know more about the book that deals with the aspartame toxicity, when we get back, of course, why we'll invite your calls at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. So give us a call, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295, and we'll be back here in just a moment, right here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and of course our guest is Dr. Roberts. Do you have a telephone number or website that you'd like to put out?
Well, my various books on this and the one on Alzheimer's, the website is www.sunsentpress.com. That's this publisher, Sunshine Sentinel Press. And they have an 800 number for my new tapes. And that's 1-800-827-7991. That's 1-800-827-7991 for the new three-tape discussion of this, which, of course, covers things we can't go into in detail here, especially the resistance that you pointed out to having this published or to warn physicians, and also which people who have this problem can do to detoxify themselves.
Well, what can people do to detoxify themselves?
Of course, they have to first stay away from aspartame products, which, as you pointed out, may not be that easy when you have 9,000, 10,000 of these products, and it's not on your right, it's on your left in a supermarket. And so, and that may not be easy to do, to stay away, because as you indicated, there's only parts of habit. And staying away from other comparable neurotoxins like MSG, monosodium glutamate, and so forth, and to drink adequate fluid, adequate water. But that's a problem in itself, because as you know, the water that comes in the plastic containers has so-called phytates, which leach into the water. And that's a whole story in itself. And, of course, to eat properly and to avoid having severe hypoglycemia, including during the night. And there are a number of other things that we can go into, but in those recordings I go into this in detail. But the matter, as you pointed out, of the medical profession not having any awareness of this, and the resistance to publication of articles about things that I'm talking about, it's just unbelievable, because you have such profound economic and political forces. You know, it's almost like, it reminds me of the fluoridation problem. I don't know if you've ever discussed fluoridation.
Well, many, many times. Are you for or against fluoridation?
Against it. I think it's a tragedy.
Yeah, I do
too.
It's
taking this waste, this poison. There are several types, of course, of fluorides. They're taking these poisonous waste products and dumping them into the drinking water system on the premise that it prevents dental caries, when it doesn't do that. In fact, it aggravates it. But with all the systemic effects of fluoride, you know, fluoride is a biocide. If you have termites in your house and they tend to, you know what they use to get rid of the termites?
Fluoride.
Fluoride. So if you're fluoride and so forth. And the effects, including the brain. Now, the amount of fluoride, you were talking about Alzheimer's, and in my book on the prevention of Alzheimer's, I point out that the amount of fluoride in brain over the past several decades has tripled. You know, measuring fluoride in the brain. Fluoride is a neurotoxin, but if you present this when the communities are thinking of fluoridating the water, and I go in as an advocate for the consumer, pro bono, I've not received 1 cent of this. And you start presenting this, and you're faced with a panel of so presumed experts, you know, saying, oh, this is the greatest thing since sliced bread to prevent dental caries. And it's wrong, because the communities we've now been following 40, 50 years that have had fluoridated water have more dental decay, you know, fluorosis, but then all the other problems with fluoride.
Well, between fluoride and aspartame, both of them attack
the human
brain.
Well, you know, fluoride and Prozac,
right?
You know, and so forth. It's everything. So, it's my personal feeling that if you have a group of policymakers who are not physicians, not scientists, and are not know how to read the data, who are making these policies about fluoridation, they're practicing medicine without a license.
Well, but of course, unfortunately, we've got an awful lot of doctors and dentists who will get up there and make these statements.
Oh, yes.
They read them at the medical meeting, or they read it in a medical journal someplace, and they've never, never, never reviewed the literature, which
I'm sure
you have as well. And if you go into this, it's being used for population control, because just as with aspartame, why, of course, it decreases the male sperm count, and this is what they love. They want, of course, to prevent reproduction. This is one of the major thrusts of our policy, our domestic and foreign policy. But, of course, we can't tell the people that, and so we tell them, oh, it's for the children's teeth, and who can be in favor of little children, helpless children, having cavities in their teeth? And you look at the studies over in Europe, they did away with this a long time ago, because they knew the incidence of cavities was worse, and people will say, but look, dental care is so much better, that children's teeth are so much better than they were 30 years ago, and that's true. But you could compare children in fluoridated areas and non-fluoridated areas, and the non-fluoridated areas, their dental health is better, because, of course, all children are brushing their teeth and cleaning their teeth and going to the dentist on a regular basis, and better nutrition, and that's why a cavity rate is down, but it's down far less in the non-fluoridated areas, in the fluoridated areas, and they're not telling the American people that. And, of course, it's very expensive to get rid of this poison, much easier to dump it in the water supply. And the American people are so dumb, they believe what they are told by the media, and that's why we're in the trouble we are today. But then we're getting a long way.
My thunder.
We're getting a long way away from aspartame.
No. But the similarity.
Oh yes.
About the opposition to informing physicians about aspartame disease and the problems of of fluoridating the water, you get the same severe resistance, and it's appalling to me.
With very
because confused. Oppositions are basically should be public health offices,
But the great tragedy is, of course, that most doctors do not have the time to read all of the literature on aspartame. So it's really up to you out there in the listening audience to get the material, and certainly Betty Martini has an excellent website. And then, of course, there's a Dr. Roberts website. Now, that's www.sunscentpress.com. Right. So it's sunscentpress.com.
Right.
And then, of course, Betty Martini's website is doorway, www.doorway, D-O-R, not D-O-O-R, but D-O-R, W-A-Y, and I don't know whether that's com or .org. Do you know? Is her website Connor.org?
.com.
Okay, yeah. Fine. Well, anyway, go to the website. Go to both of those websites and get the scientific studies that are there. And certainly, tremendous pressure is being put on everybody to keep the lid on this. Are there any class action lawsuits being brought? Because this is probably the only way anything's going to happen. Certainly, all during the years of the tobacco questions, the government was subsidizing the people who were growing the tobacco at the same time the government was putting a message on the packages of cigarettes saying, this is dangerous to your health, it can kill you. And, of course, that was really great because then when the cases came to court, they could say the tobacco companies, which knew that the tobacco was going to kill the people and produce cancers and emphysema and heart disease and arteriosclerosis and all of these myriad of diseases, they could say, well, it was right there on the package, if you can read, you can see that. And so, but, of course, this is not true with aspartame. They're still trying to cover up the truth about it. So,
what they do, there's a genetic condition called phenylketonuria, PKU, and in which people cannot tolerate the phenylalanine, which is one of the amino acids, and it says warning phenylketonuria. So who in the world knows what phenylketonuria is and so forth and the like? But it should really be saying may cause brain tumor, may aggravate diabetes, may cause convulsions, and it causes infertility, or these things we've been talking about may stimulate multiple sclerosis, for example.
In other words, by causing degenerative lesions in the nervous system.
Right. So so you're right, But there are, thanks to Betty Martini and some others, they're accumulating the data, because, of course, you need law firms that have very deep pockets to try and counter companies like, who are producing this, who have billions of dollars. This is a multi-billion dollar industry. And so, there's a lot of problems now with the cost of malpractice insurance and lawyers and so forth, but somewhere along the line there may be some highly motivated law firms, they'll be willing to undertake this, hopefully. But it's been hard, but the data are there. The data are there. Just look at my book. Look at the FDA statistics. That's all they had. Look at what the FDA, people are volunteering this. Now, aspartame is not considered a drug, although that's how it was originally intended. So when people volunteer, they've had convulsions, they've had this and that. They don't, it's volunteered information, because doctors, if you have a drug that produces convulsions, you have to report it to the FDA. But if you have a something that is not considered a drug, and people have it, then they say, oh, it's anecdotal, anecdotal. But when you get thousands and thousands of these people, it's no longer anecdotal, Dr. Stan.
Well, I know it's not anecdotal, and I've often wondered, of course, is there any way that this could be responsible for the increasing level of diabetes? I was just reading an article this evening where, of course, the CDC says that another 10 or 15 years, one-third of the adult population of the United States is going to be diabetic. Now, this is an epidemic of diabetes. I mean, nothing like this has ever happened before. Is there something in our environment? Is it possible that this product, this aspartame, NutraSweet, excitotoxin products, are in any way attacking the human pancreas?
The answer is yes. Now, I've been writing about diabetes for nearly 50 years. I developed the afternoon glucose tolerance test in the 1960s and so forth, and published extensively on diabetes. This is why Dr. Atkins got involved when he read my work and the like. And I don't mean to be egotistical about this, but of course there are many things that go into diabetes, whether it's type 1 or type 2 and so forth. And there are many things. For example, the immunizations. Multiple. By the time in some states the child that goes to school, they've already had 30 immunizations. There's an autoimmune process. There are many other things that go into it. But in addition to that, aspartame, in my opinion, not only can aggravate diabetes and its complications, as I mentioned before, but it may initiate it. And in my tapes, I go into this. And, you know, you don't go half-cocked, make statements like that. So here, fortunately, we have the First Amendment in the United States, and I can give my opinion. That's what I'm doing. But, a board-certified internist doesn't just make statements like that, unless there's a reason in his belief that this is so. Not belief, but in terms of the data. So in my opinion, when you have 70% or more of the population, so 70%, using these products that influence insulin metabolism, which they do. I mean, I go into it in great detail, not only diabetes, but the hypoglycemia and so forth. I feel that they're contributing to the problem. And the answer is yes.
All right, fine.
Is that straightforward enough?
That is, I knew you were going to say that, but I just wanted to have the listeners
hear
you say that. Now,
you must have studied that book for...
yes, well, I try to be well aware of what the issues are before we do an interview so that we can get your information to our listeners. Incidentally, if you're out there in the listening audience and you have a question, we've got a few more minutes. Give us a call at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. Now, what are some of the other names that this goes by? Everybody knows NutraSweet, but what a hydrolyzed, what do they call these vegetable products? Or what are some of the names that they use to throw people off the track?
Like Equal, you know.
Equal, okay.
Right. And, you know, and a number of the other quote diet drinks, end of quote. Of course, there are other sugar, sweeteners, artificial sweeteners, sucralose like Splenda and acesulfame K and so forth. Now, aspartame is about 180 times sweeter than the sugar, table sugar, sucralose and so forth. But some of these newer products can go up to 5,000, 10,000 times more sweet than sugar. So, well, that's great. It's not great because when you start to ingest something that's sweet, the brain, there's a brain reaction. There's something sweet, there's sugar. We're going to start releasing insulin to help make energy out of it and so forth. But if there's no energy, it's just out of a sweetened, then the body becomes hyperinsulinized. It produces a lot of insulin, which can stay a long time. And some of these other products that are widely used have simply not been studied at great length, or at least some of the data have not been published. And they can have mutagenic effects that have to do with causing like cancer and so forth, liver effects, and then diabetics, they cause other changes, the increased so-called glycosylated hemoglobin, and it goes, and some, for instance, with the sucralose, is a chlorinated derivative of sugar. Well, I've done a fair amount of work with pesticides, pentachlorophenol and so forth. And when you deal with this, with these chlorinated products, that's a whole other problem in itself, plus the contamination with arsenic and lead and so forth. So the thing is, these have not been long-term studies using real-world products that have been reported enough. And if the data is there, there's so much power involved, it's not published. You don't see it.
All right, fine. Now, somebody had called and wanted to know what the name of your book was on Alzheimer's disease.
Called Defense Against Alzheimer's
Disease. Defense Against Alzheimer's, and of course the telephone number is 1-800-827-7991.
Well, they can see it at the website.
All right, fine. And that's www.sunsent, S-U-N-S-E-N-T, press, P-R-E-S-S, all one word, sunsentpress.com. And go there and you can see all of the various items that Dr. Roberts has. We do carry his book on, the 1,000-page book on aspartame, because we think it's a very important book. It's entitled Aspartame Disease, an Ignored Epidemic. And you've got to help us get this out. Once you can get people to understand that they're being lied to about just about everything, that, of course, it's not only a lie, but it's harmful not only to their health, to the health of their children, and, of course, perhaps even to generations yet unborn, then maybe you're going to get them to understand the significance of what's going on. Once they begin to understand, they're not getting the truth from the media, and even there are many things that their doctors are not allowed to know about. At that point, why, of course, hopefully, the American people are going to begin to wake up to the very real threat that faces us today. Well, are there any other organ systems that are affected?
I must tell you something along those lines. I have many, many patients purchasing these books, especially theirs, and bringing it to their doctors and say, "Doctor, look, you may not think it, but here, read this." and the one thing about the internet, it's great. It levels the playing field, and it's amazing. And I am very gratified with patients. They keep writing me all the time. They said, "I got this. I brought it to my doctor." And usually, the response is, "That's nonsense. They don't want to." But it gets through, and they're educating the doctors.
I know, and this is what we're going to have to do. And I've said this many times: we can't depend upon our doctors to know this information. You're going to have to educate them, whether they want to be educated or not. And the question would be, doctor, I know you may not agree with this, but would you intentionally do something to hurt one of your patients? Well, of course, the answer would be no. Well, then, of course, we'd simply ask you to check these facts out and get a couple of the articles off the Internet. Of course, you can get the doctor ready to sit down and go through this book with all of the extensive documentation from the medical literature. Why, of course, hopefully he is going to really change his position. But you have to understand, doctors are terribly busy. And, of course, they have a little reading and they're studying and everything else to do to keep abreast of what's going on. And they're going to be very skeptical of anything that doesn't come from their medical journals without being aware of the fact that their medical journals, in many instances, are going to be very loath, especially if it's something like the AMA, a journal that is largely subsidized by the drug companies of one sort or another.
As are all the nutrition journals.
Right.
I've tried, you can't believe how many papers of mine, my manuscripts have been rejected, articles dealing with the, by them, and you take a look at who subsidizes these journals and these newsletters and so forth, and it's the food industry.
And
you have it right on target, Dr. Stan.
Well, he who pays the piper calls the tune. I think that's what it was said many years ago, and that's what I really believe. And it's about time that our listeners begin to understand that. And of course, it's up to you. If you're not involved, your doctor is never going to know.
I'm not saying that I know all the answers. I don't mean that. And I'm very grateful if anybody, physician or patient, can show me where any of my stuff is wrong. I'd be grateful to them and so forth. So, but, black is black and white is white. And fortunately, there are media like yours that at least are willing. You have the giraffe award. You stuck your neck out.
Right. Well, of course, you know what happens to the giraffe. It's sort of like the ostrich. You know, they've got a long neck, but it, boy, it's awfully easy to hit with a machete. Easy to hit with a machete. Well, of course, are there some other things that you'd like to tell our listeners about the dangers of aspartame and NutraSweet? Other than,
let me just give you a few. For instance, if you have a person who's diagnosed with multiple sclerosis, especially a young woman who's taking these things, that diagnosis should not be sealed, and so unless she's been off of the aspartame and so forth for a couple of months. I mean, the diagnosis, that's one thing, the multiple sclerosis. Another is the addiction problem. And I now have over 100, you know, I first described this in about 35 cases a couple of years ago, is a real addiction to these diet colas and so forth. And they're addicted to the methyl alcohol. Not the ethyl, the methyl alcohol. And this is a real addiction. If they try and come off of it, as they try to do, then they get these terrible withdrawal symptoms and the like. And it goes on and on. Like right now, there's a great problem about these new infections that are hitting the society. You know, not only the monkeypox and so forth. You got to realize that with 50% of the aspartame being phenylalanine, if you have high phenylalanine, it's conducive to infection. And in my book, I go into the details of why this is so. And it goes on and on. The lupus, people think they have lupus. Erythematosus, people think they have arthritis. I'm talking about young board-certified physicians who I've taken care of. And they've been all over, and they did one of its gout, Lyme disease, this, and they read this, and they stop it, and their arthritic symptoms go away. Well, these are real people and real things, and I can just go on with this, but the matter of depression. The current issue of the Journal of the American Medical Association has about 20 articles on depression. Well, one of the major neuropsychiatric problems with aspartame disease is severe depression and tendency to suicide. And it's at least a quarter of the people, and they know it. And what else? You know, it's a disease. And it says an ignored epidemic. It is an epidemic. And if somebody can show me where I'm wrong, fine. But just look at the FDA statistics that they begrudgingly, I mean, they're in a complete denial. But if you look at it, you know, 10,000 more cases that have volunteered. So I do appreciate your allowing me to talk to an audience about these ideas and my opinions, and I do hope it does some good.
Well, I hope it does, too. And I want to thank you so very much for being with us. Again, our guest has been Dr. Roberts. His book, Aspartame Disease and Ignore an Epidemic, his 1,000-page book, is certainly the classic on this, and we recommend it strongly to you. His website, again, www.sunscentpress.com, sunscentpress.com. Telephone number 1-800-827-7991. Doctor, thank you so very much for being with us. It's
my
been a real pleasure having
you and your audience.
Bye-bye. Okay, well, this is Dr. Stan, and I hope you enjoyed the program. And, of course, I think it's so vitally important that you learn about these things. And then, of course, you help us get the information out. We've got a great four-tape set on this, and we'll be putting another four-tape set together based upon Dr. Roberts' interviews and Benny Martini's interviews. We have wonderful interviews with both of them, and you want to get that information and help us to get the truth out across America. And, of course, this book we have, Aspartame, the Disease and Ignored Epidemic. We have another book called Excitotoxins, The Taste It Kills. It's much smaller and much shorter. If you want the ultimate book, it would be Excitotoxins. Pardon me, it would be Dr. Roberts' book. The shorter one is put out by Dr. Russell Blaylock, which we carry. That's called Excitotoxins, The Taste It Kills, and we certainly recommend that book as well. And, of course, what you need to do is take it upon yourself to educate your physician. And you say, well, that's not my job. Yes, it is your job. I educated my dentist about fluoride. It changed his life, and he has been, I believe, very, very grateful for the fact that we did not simply sit back and nod in agreement. We told him what was wrong with fluoride, the fluoride he was taking, and he has eventually become one of the real leaders in this battle. A dentist now who is willing to stand up and say fluoride is wrong. And I've actually talked to a professor up in Toronto, I believe it is, at the dental school there, who is afraid to come out. He's actually been threatened if he comes out and tells the truth about fluoride. There is so much at stake here, and they cannot let the American people or the people of Canada know the truth. They know what the truth over in Europe, because every country over there has stopped fluoridation. The only place in England they fluoridate is in Northern Ireland, of course, because they know the toxic effects of fluoride and how it suppresses the emotions. And of course, would they use something in the water to have an effect on people's brains? Absolutely. And they know it lowers the IQ, but they really don't care too much about the Irish. The English have always hated the Irish, at least the people within the hierarchy of the British aristocracy. Well, this is the time when I need to remind you, Radio Liberty is listener-supported, and we do hope that many of you out there will decide right now you're going to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters and help us as we reach out across America 5 hours every day, trying to bring the news behind the news, the story behind the story. And we have a unique opportunity, not only on during the week, but on our weekend program, which is heard on about 35 stations, to reach out and get to people who would not hear the truth otherwise. With your help, we can continue expanding our network, but quite frankly, we need your help. And we hope many of you want to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters. If you'd like to get a free copy of our newsletter, our March newsletter, we'll go into the background of the attack on Iraq, what it was really about, what you'll never be told on CBS, NBC, or ABC. Our April newsletter deals with the AIDS epidemic. Our May letter deals with the SARS epidemic. If you'd like any one of the newsletters free, we'd be glad to send you one. Just give us a call at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And then, of course, pray for America. Pray for revival, because if this country doesn't turn back to God, God will never again bless America. And lastly, we ask you to remember to pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. And so until tomorrow at the same time, when we'll be back with you again, Dr. Stan, goodbye, and may the Lord be with you. Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. but in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you, the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and of course, we always welcome your calls from out across America. At 1-888-24-LIBERTY or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being. This evening we're going to start off with Randy Thomason from the Campaign for California Families, who does missionary work up in Sacramento among the heathen there, trying to, of course, to at least have some impact on what's happening for our Lord. And you have to understand that traditionally California has been the fifth or sixth largest economy in the entire world. At least we were prior to the Davis regime, when Governor Davis came in, and I don't know where we are now, but even with the whole world in recession, I suspect that California is slipping from its august position as the fifth or sixth largest economy in the entire world. Right now, if we don't get things fixed, why, we're going to be the ex-state of California. How are you doing tonight, Randy?
Hi, Dr. Stan. Well, I'm a little tired, but it's good to talk to you and your listeners.
Well, tell us what's going on up there in Sacramento there, that den of iniquity.
Tell you, you're right about the economy going down, especially with a bill that passed the state Senate Judiciary Committee today.
What was that?
Well, it's a bill called AB 196, and it would fine business owners, property owners, and Boy Scout councils $150,000 if they did not hire or rent to a transsexual crossdresser. That bill, having passed the Democrat-controlled state assembly by one vote on April 21st, today passed the Democrat-controlled state Senate Judiciary Committee, and this will run more businesses out of the state if it's signed into law by Governor Gray Davis.
I can almost see the brimstone come streaming down from heaven right on Sacramento and Sacramento, San Francisco. I just hope it stays on the other side of the mountains from where we live.
I'll tell you, this is a very terrible piece of legislation. It's the drag queen bill. It would allow a drag queen to shut down a Bible bookstore by simply targeting that and saying, I want to work here, and being told no. That goes against our religious values. The way you dress, this sex change stuff.
Well, of course, the thing is you wouldn't say that. In fact, you wouldn't be able to hire any employees. You would never be able to run an ad that you wanted to hire somebody, because they will target you. They will specifically target you in an effort to make an example of you. And, of course, I believe that is, of course, a RICO offense, a criminal offense. But they get away with it because they have very powerful friends in the highest levels of our government.
It's a terrible bill. And, you know, you got to feel for those. Think of a large daycare center where children are during the day. If there were a job opening and a man who is trying to get hormone treatment says he is a woman, of course he can never change his sex, but he can pretend. If they say no to him or just go, you know, what, come on, this is a kid. No, we don't accept this role model around him. You know, the attack upon decency and conduct, the conscience of people is under attack, and that's a horrible thing.
Well, of course, Christianity is under attack, and the moral fabric of our society is under attack, all in the name of freedom. And freedom is never the ability to do what you want to do, but what you should do according to God's laws. And if we do not have an external arbiter, why, of course, we'll have a tyrant. And that's exactly what's happening. Those who will not be ruled by God will be ruled by tyrants, and that's where we're headed. So basically, other than that, Mrs. Lincoln, how was your day? I know, other than that, Randy, what's going on up there in Sacramento?
Well, there's no budget yet, because the Democrats want to, these are the Democrat politicians up here, they want to raise taxes still, and they don't want to cut their wasteful spending.
Well, is there lots of things that could be cut? I mean, I hear a lot of people saying, well, maybe we ought to just give them that 0.5% increase in the sales tax, and we'll do a little cut, spending cutting. And then we're going to borrow $11 billion from future generations so that there will really be a crisis next year. But, of course, it won't fall on us. So what's going to happen?
Well, this could go on for a few months.
Well, do the Republicans have the resolve to say, no new taxes, you start cutting government?
So far, there was a group of slightly conservative Democrats and liberal Republicans who were trying to figure out a way to, I think, raise taxes. But that whole group fell apart yesterday, which is good because, you know, it was Republican compromisers. You don't need to do that. The Democrats are the ones that want to raise the taxes up here. We're a nonpartisan group, but we can watch everything and we can read what they say. And so it's not a good situation. However, I am one who would rather have no budget than have a budget that raises taxes. So let it lag for a few months and let the pressure build upon Governor Gray Davis and the Democrats to cut wasteful spending. Now,
we read about Gray Davis. You know, he hires this consultant. He's getting $110,000 a year as his consultant, and he's also working for all the lobby groups that are lobbying the governor, and he makes another $100,000 there, and then he gets another $10,000 or $20,000 from a university he's working for. That's three jobs, full-time jobs he's got. He's making out like a bandit, and this is Governor Davis's right-hand man.
Tell you, there needs to be a clean house up here. That's why we're supporting the recall effort, which now has reportedly over 800,000 signatures collected on its way to 1.2 million, and there's a target date of July 4th, Independence Day, to collect that. So if you haven't signed the recall petition, you must be a California registered voter, and you can only sign it once, but you can do so tonight by visiting SaveCalifornia.com, our website, SaveCalifornia.com. Dr. Stan, I do need
to... How would they know if you signed it several times?
Well, it would be thrown out.
What would be thrown out?
The whole petition. And so, again, the rule is you can only sign it once, but here's the point. There's people who want a different governor, but they haven't signed a recall yet. Whether they're liberal, moderate, conservative, Republicans, or Democrats, they haven't signed yet, and now is the time to finally do it. Visit SaveCalifornia.com and sign a petition. Dr. Stan, I do have to tell you some bad news.
All right, fine.
Looks like they're going to completely undo marriage in Canada. Today, Jean Chrétien, the Prime Minister of Canada, announced that they're going to have homosexual marriage in Canada, that the government that he leads, the Liberal Party in their parliament, is not going to appeal the bad court decision that created, quote, homosexual marriage. They're going to go along with it, and they're going to actually support it and craft language to create homosexual marriage in Canada. A terrible day in the Northern Hemisphere. But we've got to realize here in California, we need to use this to increase our resolve to oppose the bill AB 205. That bill, of course, gives all the rights of marriage to homosexual couples, partners, sex partners, and it undoes the vote of the people of California on marriage. So we can fight hard if we call Governor Gray Davis. You can get his numbers on the SaveCalifornia.com website or call him tonight. Leave a message on his recorder, 916-445-2841, 916-445-2841. Urge the governor to veto AB 205. This bill awards spousal rights to homosexual couples, and it rejects the vote of the people of California on marriage. So, Dr. Stan, we need to use pain in our life to motivate us to action, to be part of the solution.
Okay, well, God bless you, and thank you so much, Randy, and I appreciate everything you do, and I recommend, of course, Randy's ministry to our listeners. Support him. He needs the support. He's on the front lines of this battle for all of us. God bless you. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you, Dr. Stan.
Bye-bye. All right, fine. Well, that was Randy Thomason, and, of course, I think that, of course, this whole situation, as far as Governor Davis is concerned, is you're going to have to make your decision. If you think he's doing a great job, you think he did a great job as far as the energy crisis, you think he's doing a great job as far as cutting government, responsible, moral government, of why, of course, we hope that You'll oppose the recall if you think that that he has certainly been on the wrong side on many issues. Well, it's going to be your decision as to what should be done. Right now, we have with us Brad Dacus on the airways. Hi, Brad. How are you doing?
Doing great, Dr. Stanley.
Well, how are we doing as far as our battle of to try to use the courts to preserve some logic and sanity in a world gone mad?
Well, we at the Pacific Justice Institute have just filed a major federal lawsuit in federal court against the town of Dupree, Wisconsin. The reason is because of the fact that a church there decided that it wanted to buy a building and move into it and have their worship service there. And there were no health or safety concerns. They went ahead and bought it. And the owner was happy. The church was happy. But at the feet of Dupree says, no, we don't want a church there. And you guys, we're not going to let you meet there. And they didn't give any real compelling reason, which was what they're required. Beg your pardon?
Go ahead.
Yeah, they're required by law to do, so we went ahead and filed a lawsuit against the town of Dupree on behalf of that church, and also it sent a strong message to other communities across the country that they've got to think twice before they decide to keep a church from coming in their community.
All right, fine. Are there other churches in the community?
Yeah, there are other churches there, but they feel like they don't want another one.
All right, fine. Well, I think that's great, and I know that you're on the front lines. Is there anything else you'd like to tell our listeners this week, other than, of course, your website and your telephone number?
Just keep us in their prayers, and I encourage everyone to seriously consider getting involved and voicing their concerns with regard to the our existing governor and the challenge that we're facing in the state of California. I think
what's your take on this recall situation as far as the governor is concerned? Do you think this is coming along?
Well, I think it's coming along much, much better than I ever imagined. I'll tell you that, Dr. Stanley. And I had no idea that it was going to pick up like it has. It's sort of like I don't know where it's going to go from here. I'm not sure who's going to end up being our next governor. But I think one thing for sure that California has proven the old adage that the people in the end make the final decision, and I think that's something worth merit to look at.
Well, now what about your telephone number and your website?
You bet. Our toll free number at Pacific Justice Institute is 888-305-9129. That's 888-305-9129. And our webpage is pacificjustice.org. That's pacificjustice.org. And if they want to look and see where I'm speaking or where we're going to be speaking, they can also find that on there as well.
All right, fine. Well, thank you so very much. And we'll look forward to talking to you again next week, Brad.
Great. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Okay, fine. And, of course, the question is asked about, what about Arnold Schwarzenegger? Arnold Schwarzenegger doesn't know the first thing about politics. Do we really want to elect a pretty face, somebody with a muscular body? Do we want to elect somebody who has some idea how government works? There are a lot of people up there in Sacramento. Tom McClintock would be an excellent choice. Even Daryl Issa, not my favorite at all, but certainly I would I'd be willing to support him in his run for governor. Of course, the establishment is talking about bringing in Condoleezza Rice. In other words, these are the establishment people. They don't want anybody who would really represent the people of the state of California. I think that Bill Jones, who was the Secretary of State, who ran in the primary, and of course they ran Simons he is Simons and the mayor of Los Angeles split the vote so that Bill Jones wouldn't have a chance. Bill Jones is an honest-to-goodness conservative who loves the Lord. He believes in the way we believe, and the establishment wasn't going to give him an opportunity. Of course, the state party was taken over by the liberal Republicans. They simply bought up the central committees all across the state. They spent literally millions of dollars to buy up the leadership of the Republican Party. So if you control the Republican Party and you control the Democrat Party, where is the opposition? Well, fortunately, we do have a small number of good Republican legislators up there who are holding the line, and we have an opportunity to bring in a responsible governor, and Arnold Schwarzenegger would be the last person in the world I would pick. I think he's a great actor, but we don't need an actor. We need a man who knows what he stands for. I don't know how many of you watch Law and Order. They have a Fred Thompson there, former Senator Fred Thompson, who was an actor, who was elected to the United States Senator, and now he's gone back to being an actor. He really could play the part of being a senator. But, of course, he doesn't understand anything about this. He was simply put in by the people who controlled him, and he carried out their wishes. I want somebody who represents me, not the power elite. Well, let's right now go up to our special guest for this evening, who is Arlene Colo. She's with the Eagle Forum up in the Santa Rosa area, and Arlene's been with us many times in the past. And, well, this is going to be a little controversial program, but I think that you have to understand that there is an honest, organized, concerted effort to corrupt our children. The Harry Potter series is published by a publishing company called Scholastic. That is Scholastic. It is the largest publisher of children's books and textbooks in the entire country. And, of course, they publish Harry Potter, but they publish a number of other books. And I'm going to let Arlene tell you at least about one of those books, and I'm going to let her tell the story, and I think you'll find it a fascinating one. Arlene, why don't you tell us why it was that you called me the other day to tell me about your concern over what's happening in the schools. And for those of you who don't know Arlene, she's a teacher, trained as a teacher, and she very often does fills in as a substitute. So one day, well, you pick up the story there, Arlene.
All right, and thank you for having me on your program. I was substitute teaching in the fourth grade in an elementary school in Hillsburg, and the teacher's assignment for me was to read after the lunch hour a chapter from a book, which is, of course, kind of a normal thing for a teacher to do, but it was the title of the book that really got my attention. So while the students were having their recess, I kind of previewed the book and decided there is no way I am going to be reading from this book. The title of it was The Day My Butt Went Psycho.
Well, what about the one that you'd read before that would refer to the passing of gas from the rectum? Do you want to tell that story first?
Oh, because yes.
I think that this is, I mean, really, it was a four-letter word having to do with passing gas. And, of course, this was the title of the book. And this was for children being read in our schools, in your public schools, paid for with your tax money. And the purpose is to bring our children down to the lowest possible gutter mentality. Go ahead.
The book that he's referring to, I had noticed in the first grade classroom a few years prior to this, and the name of it was All About Farts. And it showed pictures of various animals and the kind of farts that they make. And then it ended with a picture of a little boy and a full-grown man naked together in a hot tub with little bubbles coming up from their bottoms and description of what human farts are like. And I could not believe that anyone would have such a book in the classroom.
Well, I mean, if you wanted to corrupt your own child, but why would they be doing this in the public school? We could not have mentioned God or prayer or Jesus Christ or the Ten Commandments there, but we can discuss this sort of thing. I mean, they say, well, we can't have God there because somebody might be offended. But what about the people who'd be offended by this sort of thing? Well, they're just troublemakers.
Anyway, what happened with the book, The Day My Butt Went Psycho, when the kids came back from the lunch period, and I told them that I would be reading to them, I said, you have a choice. I'm going to be reading to you from the life of Helen Keller or the life of Teddy Roosevelt. And they said, no, we want to hear the butt book. And I said, I'm sorry, but that book is very offensive. And I said, if you look on the back cover, the author himself has rated the book as G for gross. And he also says that it is for an immature audience and not meant for adults. I told him, I am an adult, and I do not read gross books. I said, furthermore, it's really nice for you to hear about some real-life people. You're so involved with fantasy and on television and all the books you're reading. I'd like you to know about some American heroes who really had to go through a lot to get to where they were. So the class chose to hear from Helen Keller, and so that's what I started reading. And then I left a note to the teacher telling her that I had read from Helen Keller rather than the book that she left for me. Well, lo and behold, the next Friday, I was asked to come back to the same classroom, and we kind of went through a similar scenario. This time the kids were saying, well, why can't we hear from that book? And I said, well, for one thing, your parents would be very upset to know that you were being told about this gross book about butts. And one of the boys said, well, it was David's mother that brought the book to class. And lo and behold, I found out later that David's mother happened to be the PTA president. And just to let you have an idea what that story is about, it's about a little boy who wakes up and discovers, and I don't use the word butt, that was always an improper word when I was growing up, but this little boy finds that his bottom has gotten detached from his body and has run off and joined a group of renegade bottoms who are standing by the highway mooning the cars that go by.
And it's interesting that this is not for adults. In other words, they don't want the adults to know that, and they say that specifically on the back of the book. This is not for adults.
That's right.
It's too gross for them.
And he also says in the foreword of the book that this is for people who are 18 and younger. And you wonder, what on earth is he trying to do here? But anyway, the story goes on. The little boy brings his cat, and he has to get an artificial bottom so he can go get his real bottom. He brings his cat with him, and he grabs his bottom, and the bottom lets the fart out in the cat's face, and the cat nearly dies, so the little boy has to let go of his bottom and take care of his cat. And then begins the epic journey. He has to go through all of these various trials, goes through the forest of the brown forest and the sea of bums, and finally he gets his bottom, who's now repented and comes back to him.
Now, is this the book that's published by Scholastic?
Yes.
And of course, Scholastic is the same publishing house that puts out the witchcraft books,
the Harry Potter books.
You have to understand, the woman who wrote this is deeply involved in witchcraft. She studied witchcraft and mythology. In fact, she even majored in mythology in college, when, of course, you watched 60 Minutes, those of you who saw it last Sunday. No mention at all was made of her research of witchcraft or her college degree, study in mythology. Why would they leave that out? I mean, that would be so important for people to know that here was a woman who was well adept at all of the black arts. But, of course, all they did was talk about, this wonderful lady who was at one time on welfare, but her husband left her with a daughter. And then, of course, she just sat in the corner at a lunch stand or a lunch room and wrote out this story. But this is a story designed to introduce children to witchcraft and published by Scholastic, the same publishing house that publishes this obviously gross book aimed at dragging the mentality of our children down to the lowest common denominator. Would you rather have our children, fixated on heroes and patriotism and a love of country and love of family and love of God, or on bottoms that are letting gas out all the time? Now, I would ask you, how do you understand this? Well, you have to understand that America is in a terminal state of depravity, and it is not happening by accident. It is happening by intent. And where is the outcry from the church? Where is the outcry from our leaders? And, of course, it's deafening and it's silence. Go ahead, Arlene.
Well, what happened the second day when I was reading from the book, from Helen Keller? This time a little boy started a petition around class saying that next time we have another substitute or to our real teacher, we insist that we be read from the butt book. And lots of the kids signed it. So I put the petition on the desk, but I went on reading from Helen Keller, and I just read excerpts to let them know just what this amazing woman had to go through. And I saw some of the little girls had tears in their eyes. And they really got into this. You know, this was probably maybe the first real book they'd heard from for a long time. And I noticed that some of them went up and crossed their name off the petition after they heard the ending of Helen Keller.
Well, now, of course, but why did their own teacher read them the butt book? Why did they leave it for you?
Well, I found out later. Every time I was called back to the school, it was always for the same classroom. So obviously the teacher must have liked me. I don't know, but the last time they were having a swimming party, because it was the last week of school, and in the meantime, I'd written a letter to the principal just telling her, I wrote a two-page article about this and sent you a copy, sent it all over because I was so outraged. I wrote her a letter, sent her a copy of my article, and she asked me after I was finishing teaching the class if I'd come and speak to her in her office, and she said, by the way, I really appreciated your article and I totally agree with you. And so I came and spoke to her for about a half an hour, and she told me that she'd sent my article on to the head of the the person who was in charge for the teacher union that would be involved in rehiring this teacher. She said she'd had a lot of problems with the teacher in the past, and she also gave my article to several parents who had complained because their children had been telling them about this butt book.
Well, had they been reading, had this been read at least by the teacher to the children in the class?
The teacher finished the whole book.
Okay, fine.
And had read it to them every noon hour. And the kids, you know, the sad thing is they are so surrounded by this gross kind of humor, they think that they're not shocked by it anymore. They have South Park, this horrible cartoon on television. And like you mentioned, the Harry Potter book, Harry Potter had so many gross things in there, the gross jelly beans that they were to eat. And I totally agree with what you said about it. This was not a book that was teaching anything but respect for witchcraft. And anyone who did not believe in witchcraft, they were the people that were looked down upon. And I just, anyway, I was happy to know that the principal agreed with me and totally supported me on writing my article and standing up against reading this book. What I did say at the end of the article was that all teachers should be teaching morality because this is an ed code. And we actually have this written into our ed code in California because our founding fathers and throughout the history of our nation, they have understood that morality is something that's very important if we're going to preserve our nation, preserve our form of life and our government. And so there is an ed code that teaches that our California teachers are supposed to be teaching respect and moral codes, and they are also not to be using profane words.
Well, now, why doesn't the teachers, demand that this, why didn't the parents demand that this teacher be removed or demand to get their children out of that teacher's class?
I'm hoping that that's what will happen now. I think there were enough parents, maybe, that were outraged. But what I'm going to do, I'm going to go to the Hillsburg School Board meeting tomorrow night, and I'm going to talk about this. For the most part, I think parents are not informed, and I don't think any real, honest-to-goodness parent would want their children to have to hear such stuff, except this strange lady who was the PTA president.
Why would anybody want to be president of the PTA unless they have an agenda? You know, of course, it could be an altruistic agenda. Really want to be helped, you know, want to get better education. But unfortunately, most of the good people stay home, and most of the evil people are willing to work full-time and sacrifice and spend the whole of their lives to push this anti-Christian agenda, which is so prevalent throughout America, throughout the world today. So, you know, I'm so proud of you, Orlean, for being willing to take a stand and to write your letters and, of course, to stand up for those children. And I'm glad a lot of the children actually crossed their names off. How many, was the petition supposed to be sent on to the principal or what?
It was just for any future teacher coming into the classroom. And I think the little boy that started it, I think, was embarrassed himself. So by the end of the day, I think most of the names had been crossed off it. The sad thing is, I told the kids, I said, you know, reading good literature is supposed to be an uplifting experience that you learn from, and that isn't what's happening with this kind of book. And I think they hopefully began to realize that I was correct. It's not an uplifting feeling, it's not a good feeling. And maybe they'll listen and remember that the next time.
Well, I certainly hope it will. But the thing is, we have to take a stand for righteousness. It's a lot easier just to go along and get along. And when you take a stand for what you believe in, sometimes it can be very costly. I know when I've taken a stand on my stand on the Iraq War, lost some of our supporters. But I'll do what I think is right. And I know you will as well, Orlean, because, of course, we're answerable not to our listeners, but to the Lord himself. We'll be back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and of course our guest this evening is Orlean Kula, and of course we're talking about education, what's really happening in education. And of course, Orlean's on the front lines of this because, of course, she's a substitute teacher, and she's called in many times into the very schools. But these things that she's telling us about tonight are just literally unbelievable. And if I didn't know Arlene, I'd say nothing could be this bad. But you have to understand there is an attack on the souls of our children. They want, of course, to remove their modesty and embarrassment. They want, of course, to change their moral foundation. They want to make them think that grossness and talking about bathroom activity is the most normal thing in the world. And then, of course, a short step from there to sex education and depravity education and, of course, into witchcraft. And, of course, this is all taking place in our public schools today. Are you as outraged as I am? Well, give us a call at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. We'd love to hear from you and get your thought on the information we're talking about right today. So, again, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Our guest, Arlene Coulomb, and, of course, she is the president of the local Eagle Forum chapter up in the Santa Rosa area and doing a great job. And I understand, Arlene, that there are more and more people really are getting interested now, more so than before.
Yes, actually, I am now the state president for Eagle Forum for the state of California, and our local chapter president, Sharon Hughes, is the one here in Sonoma County, and in fact, we just barely had an Eagle Forum meeting this evening. It was a professor from Sonoma State, the one and only conservative Republican on campus, and one of the things he was saying is how he has seen over the years the high school graduates coming to the university who are totally devoid of moral standards, and they don't have any ethics. You know, cheating is rampant, and even his Democrat fellow teachers are saying to him, "What on earth is going on?" You know, they all notice this big change in high school graduates coming on to the university. So it's really true. They have done a real number on getting rid of morals in our high schools, our elementary schools. And what a difference this is going to make for our nation.
Well, of course, the thing is that the people who would destroy America know exactly what they're doing. You have to understand that the purpose of destroying America is because it was once a Christian nation. And those words have been attributed to the gentleman who wrote Democracy in America, to Tocqueville, and whether or not this is an accurate quotation, I don't know. Some people say it's not, but I believe it's true, and in other words, whether he said it or not doesn't matter. It's true. America is great because America is good, and if America ever ceases to be good, America will cease to be great. And that's exactly what is happening today. But it's not happening by accident. It's happening by plan. Why would the president of the PTA give a teacher a book like that and ask it to be read other than to degrade and undermine the moral fabric and really the force of goodness that is inherent in children? No, I'm not saying children are inherently good, but there's certainly modesty there. There's certainly a sense of right and wrong. And you're going to, of course, erode that completely with things of this sort. And, of course, once you've destroyed the modesty and of children, the chastity of children, their embarrassment at discussion of things of this sort, then, of course, this will never be regained again. And it's done, you know, and this book was specifically designed, said it's not for adults. Adults won't understand this. And the inference, I don't know if the children would have got the idea that this was not to be shown to their parents.
It was probably part of it. And what's also interesting, there's not a parent mentioned in the entire book. This little boy goes off on his epic journey to regain his bottom all by himself. There's not a parent involved anywhere. The other interesting thing about this is the author, and maybe that's why the PTA president thought it was a good book, because this author is a best-selling author in Australia. His name is Andy Griffiths, and he's written many children's books, but when you listen to the title of them all, they sound all equally gross, that he's won several awards. It seems like the thing that wins awards now is how humorous the book is and how gross it is. And also how fearful it is. For a lot of scary books are winning awards, but nothing that has any ethical moral value to it anymore with any real heroes. It's amazing. I've seen this all over. And when you go on the Scholastic News website, you see just an amazing list of strange-sounding, gross-sounding names, nothing of any moral value.
Well, you know, I think one of the real problems is, Arlene, is that most people don't take the time to read children's books. I know I was paying for my granddaughter to go to a Christian school in Greenville, South Carolina. And, of course, this was a very well-known Christian school there. And I was asking my granddaughter when I was back visiting her about a couple of years ago about what she was reading. And she told me a little bit about the book. And it just sounded terrible. And so I actually went out and I bought a copy of the book. And I asked the woman at the store where I bought it about the book. Oh, she says, this is very popular. You know, it's read in all the public schools. And, you know, the children just love this book. So I started to read this. And it was one of these books with a negative hero. The hero of the book was a dishonest criminal drug user. And of course, the whole book, it gives you a sense of hopelessness. And he ends up committing suicide. Not one bit of virtue, and there was sex in this book for being read in the Christian school, you know, by, you know, 8th and 9th graders and 9th or 10th graders. And of course, you know, the drugs are all right and stealing's all right, criminality is all right, and the bad guys are the police and the good guys are the drug dealers, and then the hero ends up committing suicide. And you get through with the book and you had a feeling of hopelessness. In other words, life is, the old adage, life is tough and then you die, and no good deed will ever go unpunished, and life is simply a matter of quiet desperation. And I can see how children would become just extremely depressed and have a sense of hopelessness, hopelessness after reading a book like that, and actually being pushed, encouraged, being a required reading in a Christian school in the heart of the Bible Belt. A little wonder America's in the trouble it is today. Because, of course, these are the people who will be leading our country in the next generation.
That's really the truth. I remember reading a wonderful history of civilization by Will Durant. And the first, he has several huge, big volumes. The first volume, he mentions that it takes four things to make a civilization possible and to keep it intact. It takes a form of government. It takes an economic system. It takes education that is passing on to the next generation, all of the traditions and things that the parents hold sacred, but it also takes morality based on religion. And he says if any one of those four things starts to crumble, pretty soon the civilization crumbles. Well, I think morality in our nation is probably the thing that is crumbling the most and the quickest, and I think pretty soon we will see an absolute decadent United States, and we will lose our freedoms in the meantime.
And of course, the churches, instead of encouraging parents to take their children out of government schools, are afraid to speak out because they wouldn't want to offend anybody who might be a public school teacher, although many public school teachers do not have their children in the public schools. But the ministers are afraid to speak out or refuse to speak out, or maybe they just don't care. We're told to bring up our children in the way of the Lord. Are we really bringing up Christian children in the way of the Lord? And I don't think so. And I put the blame fully on the leaders of the Christian church in America today. And if there's anybody out there who'd like to defend the Christian church as far as the education is concerned, I'd love to hear from you. I'm not saying that there are a few ministers who don't have the courage to encourage homeschooling and getting children out of government schools. But I'm saying the vast majority have far more fear of offending somebody than they do of God.
Have you ever heard of the book Temples of Darkness?
Tell me about it.
It's a wonderful book written by a Baptist minister in Long Beach. And it was just recently published, and it gives the statistics of just how bad it is. According to this book, 75 to 80% of the students who start out from Christian homes, by the time that they have graduated from high school, they have now lost their belief in God. And he says that you can understand when you maybe have 1 hour of Sunday school a week and you have 6 hours a day in secular humanist schools where no respect for morality is being taught, no real right or wrong is being taught. In fact, absolute truth is something they no longer believe in. And it's the whole classroom is full of secular humanist philosophy.
Now, who wrote that? Do you recall?
His name is Johnny Esposito. And I'd be happy to give you his phone number. I don't have it with me right now, but it's an excellent book. We Eagle Forum ordered a whole box full because we thought it was so important.
You give me a call off the air, Orly, and this is the message that we want, of course, to get out. We tell Christian parents to get their kids out of the government schools, to train them up to read phonetically and spell phonetically, to get a homeschooling program or whichever one they get, just to be sure that it has also been corrupted. And we have one we carry because we know the man who put it together, and, of course, he used this on his own children. But they've infiltrated the Christian schools, they've infiltrated the Christian homeschooling movement, and you're going to have to be very, very careful that they do not corrupt either your children or your grandchildren. Because, of course, they're after the soul of America. That's what it's really all about. And, of course, you mentioned, you know, the four pillars of society. You have to have a family, you have to have a government, you have to have an economic system. Well, our economic system is imploding. They're not telling people what the real debt of our society is. And, of course, instead of trying to get our economic system back in balance, why, they're increasing spending and cutting taxes. They're obviously a recipe for disaster. And then as far as certainly the stability of government is concerned, you realize over half the American people don't even bother to vote anymore because they don't believe in the system. And then the other half, of those who are registered to vote, only about half of them vote. So many times we'll have only 25% of the American people turning out to vote, and of course the majority wins. That could be 13%. So this is the problem that we really are facing today. And then of course with the moral breakdown and the religious breakdown and changing the message and changing the music of the churches. And of course, if the founding fathers, the ministers of the time of the American Revolution had been teaching the gospel as it's being taught today, would still be English subjects. They've altered the message of the gospel to neutralize the church, and boy, they've done a great job of it.
That's very true. You just summarized our entire problem in our nation.
Well, I think, of course, there's four points that you mentioned. Well, how is Eagle Forum doing? Is it, you know, for our listeners out there, there are maybe about six or eight good conservative organizations in America, the American Conservative Union. Only trouble is the head of that recently came out and endorsed Arlen Specter, who is a Republican who gets about a 40% voting record, and that may be the end of the American Conservative Union. The Conservative Caucus has gone down the tubes. The John Birch Society is still there doing what it's been doing for many, many years, but it's still not, and it's done a great job through the years, but it still embraces the philosophy of Dr. Duisberg that there's no epidemic, and it refuses to talk about the Masonic and occult influence, and it refuses to become a Christian organization. It is simply a secular organization talking about God, but they never quite define what God is, and they never take a stand against the dark forces that oppose us. You have, of course, the Council for National Policy, which was formed to be a counter to the Council on Foreign Relations. It's become the cheering section for the Council on Foreign Relations. You have, of course, Concerned Women for America that does a great job, but will never tell you about this true spiritual battle we're involved in. And then, of course, we have the Eagle Forum, and that, to me, is probably the single most effective organization in the nation today, because it's headed by one woman. And as long as Phyllis Schlafly is there, it's going to be standing on the right side. And we congratulate Phyllis for putting together an organization, being willing to keep the leadership of that, because this is what you have to do. Once you have a democratic organization, it will be infiltrated like the PTA in your school by somebody who has an agenda. And, of course, that almost happened to the Concerned Women for America. Beverly Day wanted to get out of it a few years ago and turn it over to somebody else, and they had an entirely different agenda. She had to come back and take it, and I feel fairly good. It's in the hands of Sandy Rios now, and she's doing a good job. But I certainly think that if Eagle Forum, does it have men as members as well as women?
Yes, it does. In fact, the state president for Hawaii is a man, and I know there are lots of leaders in our own state that are men, so it's definitely for both men and women. And thank you for the wonderful things you said about Phyllis and Eagle Forum. I highly recommend anything that Phyllis writes or talks about. She is truly a great American hero and going strong. She's age 78, still writing a syndicated column, has her own radio program, and truly stands up against anyone who does not hold to the American traditional way, whether it's Republican or Democrat. She'll take them on. She's a very courageous, amazing lady.
She really is, and I feel very privileged to be able to consider a friend, and we've had her as a guest on our programs many times. So if you're out there in the listening audience and you have anything to say about what we've been talking about here, give us a call, 464-8295 or 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Maybe you disagree. Maybe you think things are getting better, or maybe you think that we shouldn't object to this sort of thing that is being book being read in school. After all, these things are real. What's wrong with reading about them in our schools? Or maybe you think that America's headed in the right direction. Or maybe you're as concerned as I am about what's happening to what was once the land of the free and the home of the brave, a nation that was the beacon on the hill. It was the city on the hill. It was the hope of freedom for the entire world. And now, of course, in the most recent poll, why, of course, more people feared the United States than feared Osama bin Laden. And that, of course, is a tragic commentary on what's going on in the world today. Well, what are some of the major projects you're working on, Arlene?
Well, one thing that we have devised and we're hoping to get, in fact, I just got a publisher for it. I've put together a book called The Golden Rule School, and also character quotes for the Golden Rule School, trying to actually bring a wonderful program into a private school or public school where teachers would stand for respect, stand for the Golden Rules, for how they treat their students and how the students would treat each other. And I actually tried this in a 6-week-long position that I had, and I put on the board every morning a quote that the students would put into their journals rather than writing about their own private lives and things, really stupid questions that teachers give for their journal entries. I would put a wonderful quote that teaches some aspect of moral ethics, and they would put this in and write a little paragraph about it and then would discuss it. And after we did this for about 4 weeks, the students knew that I was just there as a temporary teacher until they got their real one. One of the little girls started a petition, and all 5 classes signed it. I didn't know they were doing this, but the petition said to the principal, "We would like Mrs. Curler to please stay as our real teacher. She has taught us these great moral truths that we would just not know otherwise." And you can see the little kids are just starved for this.
Of course they are. And the children know that there have to be limits, and they really want to be inspired. And the wonderful stories of the great heroes of America, and of course the great heroes of the world. And but of course we don't go into that. We get into the depravity and giving these children this feeling of hopelessness. Well, you know, I would hope that your effort is a success, and when this book is completed, I hope you'll send me a copy and we'll get you back.
Certainly will.
And of course, I think this is so important. Now, somebody has called and wanted to know if there's a local Eagle Forum chapter in the Monterey Bay area. Is there a phone number? How would people find out what the Eagle Forum is doing?
I think the closest one that we have in their area is in Los Altos. But they're certainly welcome to start a chapter there, and we'd help them do that. One of the things we're doing on the 20th of August and the 21st, we're co-hosting a leadership training with the Capital Resource Institute that will be the first day, and then the second day is a lobby day training to help people understand just how the technique of going and talking to their representative, their legislators, about bills that they're very concerned about. This will be our last-ditch effort to try to get our legislators to listen to the conservative viewpoint on some of the wacky legislation that's going through California. So that would be a wonderful day to come, and you'd meet Eagle Forum leaders throughout the state and receive some wonderful training and understand just how easy it is to start a chapter. We have outstanding leaders throughout our state. Just, I've never met such outstanding people on our board. It's just a thrill to work with them.
Well, can I make a suggestion? One of the most important things we need to do is to train people about our Constitution, about its histories, about the men who founded our country, about the significance of the Declaration, what it said, where the ideas for the Declaration came for, what the Constitution was really all about, the importance of a republic rather than a democracy, the idea of limiting the power of government, the separation of powers, the limiting of the power of the government so that there is no reason for people of great wealth to come in and buy up the politicians, why the 17th Amendment was the worst thing that ever happened to America, and the next worst thing was the 16th Amendment. The average individual has no idea of the foundations of our freedom, and of course, that's why, of course, they don't stand up when our courts erode the very foundation of the oath that they have sworn to uphold. In other words, they swear to uphold the Constitution, and then they set out to destroy it. And if the people understood our heritage of freedom under God, we would not be in the problem where we are today.
That's really the truth.
And of course, you know, there are programs out there that will teach people and all organized just about the various things we're talking about. This is one of the most important things we can do, even more important than politics. First of all, we have to understand the principled approach. Once we understand the principled approach, we don't have to worry to read the bill. All we have to know is whether it's constitutional or unconstitutional. And if it's unconstitutional, do away with it. And of course, we need people who understand not only the federal constitution, but the constitution of the state of California, which in the very first paragraph talks about our allegiance to God. In fact, every state constitution in the entire country talks about God, or all but one or two of them, as the very foundation of society. So if that's true, why do the courts want to take God out of our country, out of the foundations of our system, unless, of course, there is conspiracy against God? We need to have people who understand both the federal and the state constitution, and that's what's really so sorely lacking, especially among our elected representatives.
And among our teachers.
Right.
But what's interesting, when you sign your contract to be a teacher, you pledge, you take an oath that you will uphold the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of California.
And I dare say that one person in 1,000 really understands the Constitution, really understands...
Or has even read it.
Right. But of course, you can read it through, and you can talk about separation of powers, but why do they separate the powers? Where do these ideas come from? They all came from the Bible. That's the fact that the people just don't know. They don't want to acknowledge. They don't want to acknowledge that our laws were based upon Blackstone's commentaries on the laws of England, and Blackstone based all law upon the Bible.
That's right.
So then, if that's true, then why have they taken the Bible out of our schools, and why are the Ten Commandments being torn down all across the country?
That's true.
Very foundations of our freedom.
I wanted to let people actually hear this ED code. It's called 2395A, and this is every teacher should be taught this in their in-service classes instead of some of the strange things they are being taught. It says, each teacher shall endeavor to impress upon the minds of the pupil the principles of morality, truth, justice, patriotism, and a true comprehension of the rights, duties, and dignity of American citizenship. To teach them to avoid idleness, profanity, and falsehood, and to instruct them in manners and morals. And that's still part of our ED code. And so if a teacher is not doing this, they really should be held accountable for not living up to what they have signed that they're supposed to be doing. And that's one of the things that I'm trying to do by speaking out at the Hillsburg school board meeting tomorrow night to let them know that this teacher was doing just the opposite of what this ed code says she's supposed to be doing. I also wanted to comment on what you've just said. One of the things that we've asked all of our Eagle Forum chapters to do throughout the state of California is on September 17th, when it's Constitution Day, that was the day that our Constitution was actually signed into being, that we all have some kind of a patriotic breakfast and celebrate this great Constitution that people are not remembering anymore. They don't even know that date exists. And that would be a wonderful event for anyone to be able to attend. We're going to let them know just what you said about the Constitution, that it is truly an inspired document. Our founding fathers were raised up by our Heavenly Father to be able to bring forth this great document that has withstood almost 200 years, even more than 200 years, and other, for example, in the state of, in the nation of Italy, they've gone through 200 constitutions in that time. It's amazing that this wonderful document has lasted as long as it has, but it's not going to last much longer if people are not even reading it and don't know what's in it, and our congressmen are not upholding it or living by it. And it, just like you said, everything they make a vote on, their number one thing should be, is this constitutional or not, and they're not doing that.
Well, I agree with you totally, and of course the tragedy is that most of what is done is unconstitutional, and because, of course, there are only certain limited powers that are given to Congress, and all power not specifically herein given to Congress or restricted to it by the states is given to the states and to the people. And, of course, the Tenth Amendment limits the power of government. Article 1, Section 8 limits what the government can do. But they never teach that in school today. Why? Because we would not have a fascist society. We would not be returning to a feudalistic system under a ruling elite if the American people understood the Constitution and held our duly elected representatives to follow that. We're just about out of time. Orlean, what are your parting thoughts for our listeners?
Well, I would just like them to remember that it's up to us as parents to become more involved, to make sure that the right kind of literature is really being taught in the classroom. Ask your children when they come home from school, what did your teacher read to you today? And come and visit the classroom. Come and visit unexpectedly. You have that right. This is your public school, your taxpaying dollars paid for it. And just to really get involved and make sure that they attend school board meetings. And if the teacher is not living by this moral code that I just read, to hold their feet to the fire and try to get rid of them. I think they're probably going to get rid of this teacher now, because the principal is equally outraged as to what she heard was going on. But she would not have known that had I not written her that letter. And I know, you know, sometimes people are afraid. They think, oh, my child's grades will go down if I say anything. But we've got to get involved, and we've got to take action, or we're never going to make any change.
Yeah, absolutely right. Well, God bless you, Orlean. Thank you so much for being with us tonight, and I think that's a wonderful story. I want you to tell on some of our other programs as well.
Thank you very much, and thanks for all that you do. We have great respect for you and so admire the difference that you've made and through your wonderful radio program.
Well, God bless you. Thank you so much, and just get your people to listen to RadioLiberty.com 5 hours a day. They won't get anything accomplished, but they'll have a lot of information. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Dr. Stan. Good night.
And, of course, that was Orlean Kula, certainly one of our favorite guests. And, of course, we ask you, of course, to remember that Radio Liberty is listener-supported. And if you agree with us, you think there's a problem, you'd like to be part of our team, our number 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. If you'd like to set up an Institute of the Constitution in your area, the number is 410-760-9068. Call that tomorrow, 410-760-9068. For an Institute of the Constitution, pray for America, pray for our leaders, but please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. And so until tomorrow at the same time, Dr. Stan, good night, and may the Lord be with you.